Tonight I want to start by playing a little Name That Tune. I'm going to give you the first line. You tell me if you know the name of the song and who first recorded it. Ah, look at all the lonely people. Beatles, you got that correct. If you play it through in your mind, the third verse, it'll tell you the title of the song. It repeats that line twice, and then Eleanor Rigby. That's the name of the song. So Tina gets half right. She gets half the credit, so you get to eat one of your brownies after the service tonight. You know, even though that song is over 50 years old, the words ring as true today as they ever have. And songs about loneliness have been hits for years. Elvis Presley asked, "Are you lonely tonight?" Roy Orbison sang, "Only the Lonely." Journey, a little bit later on, sang, "Ask the Lonely." A little bit more closer to our day and age, the Backstreet Boys demanded, "Show me the meaning of being lonely." And Christina Aguilera admitted, "Nobody wants to be lonely." I think that those songs become hits because they resonate with so many people. They understand. That Roy Orbison song I mentioned earlier, "Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight. Only the lonely know this feeling ain't right." We know there's something wrong with it, but yet it is so common among many people, even Christians. Ravi Zacharias has circled the globe countless times in the cause of Christ, and it's his observation that this cry of loneliness is felt by all, though better expressed by some. A.W. Tozer agrees, most of the world's great souls have been lonely. Loneliness is one of the most miserable feelings a person can have. Sometimes you feel like nobody loves you, nobody cares if you even exist. If you suddenly disappeared, nobody would even miss you. Chuck Swindoll writes of loneliness, it is the most desolate word in the all human language. It is capable of hurling the heaviest weights the heart can endure. It plays no favorites, ignores all rules of courtesy, knows neither border nor barrier, yields no mercy, refuses all bargains, and holds the clock in utter contempt. It cannot be bribed. It will not be left behind. Crowds only make it worse. Activity simply drives it deeper. Silent and destructive as a flooding river in the night, it leaves its slimy bank, seeps into our dwelling, and rises to a crest of despair. Tears fall from our eyes as groans fall from our lips. But loneliness, the uninvited guest of the soul, arrives at dusk and stays for dinner. Sound familiar? Loneliness is a painful inner emptiness that I think everybody experiences at some time in their lives. It may last only a short time, or it may persist throughout life. It impacts people of all ages. It appears in all cultures, but it's most prevalent in those that emphasize individualism like ours. It occurs frequently in single adults living alone, elderly folks who have lost a spouse, parents without partners, people away from home, including students. I've shared before in another context, to me, my experience with loneliness was a time after spending some time with my family. I got on an airplane and flew to Minneapolis to start my sophomore year in college. And I arrived on a very busy day at the airport. I came off of that plane, and the terminal was packed. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people were all around me, and I didn't know a soul. And I had never felt so alone, even though you're surrounded by people. When you don't know anybody, nobody knows you, that's lonely. And it affects all different kinds of people at all ages and stations in life. Many married people are lonely. They feel alienated Even though they're living together with their spouse, they just feel that there's nobody there. There's nobody there that really knows them, loves them, and accepts them for who they are. Loneliness has been with us for a long time. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 102, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. Because of my loud groaning, I'm reduced to skin and bones. I'm like the desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof." And as you hear words like that, again, maybe you can identify with that. You can say, yeah, I know how that feels. In a world experiencing a population explosion, it seems strange. Loneliness is one of our greatest problems, but it is something that many people deal with, and it's something that's very serious. Excuse me. Loneliness is rarely discussed in the scriptures, but it's often seen. And you see it in the lives of some of the greatest individuals: Moses, Job, Nehemiah, Elijah, Jeremiah. David once wrote about being alone and in deep distress. Jesus, the one who knows all of our infirmities, surely felt lonely in the Garden of Gethsemane. And later on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He had to have felt lonely. John probably felt lonely in the years of exile on the island of Patmos. In prison at the end of his life, Paul wrote that his friends had left him, some had forsaken him, and he needed his younger colleague Timothy to please come as soon as you can. Now, what do we mean by loneliness? Warren Wiersbe's written an excellent book entitled Lonely People. And he says it the best. It's probably easier to feel than it is to describe. Yet I found this definition by Dr. Gary Collins very enlightening. "Loneliness is the painful awareness that we lack close and meaningful contact with others. It involves a painful feeling of isolation and sadness and a deep desire to connect with others. Even when they're surrounded by people, lonely ones may feel left out, unwanted, rejected, and misunderstood. Frequently, there is depression, self-criticism, restlessness, and anxiety, accompanied by a longing to be wanted and needed by at least one other human being. Despite this desire, lonely people often feel uncertain about how to reach out or unable to initiate and continue close relationships." See, loneliness can mean you feel all alone even when you're surrounded by crowds of people, some of whom might want to meet with you, might want to develop a relationship with you, but you feel cut off. You feel isolated. It's emotional isolation, even in a crowd. It's a feeling of being unwanted and unneeded. Lonely people get to the point where they automatically build walls instead of bridges. They step back when others step forward to greet them. Lonely people face each day as if there's nothing to live for. Nobody really cares anymore. Loneliness eats away at our inner person until all emotional strength is sapped and all hope is destroyed. Now, it's important to recognize that loneliness is not the same as solitude. Solitude is something that we choose to do. It's a pulling away for a time. It's temporary. It's something Jesus did. It's something Jesus suggested his disciples do. Get away from everybody. Have some time alone. That's not a bad thing. Loneliness, on the other hand, is a negative. It's an unwanted experience. It's not something we can break like we can solitude. After a time of solitude, we get back out into our relationships with people. We get on with our lives. Loneliness doesn't allow that. And loneliness does not arise simply because of the absence of people. Because sometimes, as I experienced myself, the crowd can be the loneliest of places. Max Lucado writes, "Loneliness is not the absence of faces, it's the absence of intimacy. Loneliness doesn't come from being alone, it comes from feeling alone." There's a difference. Now, what causes loneliness? The experts have been studying loneliness for years. They don't always agree, but they've come to some conclusions that I think help us understand a little bit better where loneliness comes from. One of it has to do with our modern way of life. Our mobility, it leaves people rootless. So many times people will move away from family, away from friends. If they're in a career where they transfer a lot, right about the time they start to establish some good friendships, it's time to move on. And believe it or not, one of the occupations that that happens to a lot is the ministry. Now, I'm probably the exception to the rule. I believe in finding a place and staying there. But a lot of ministers, every 2-3 years, they're moving on. They're going somewhere else. I read one time the average length of a ministry is 1.5 years. And you got guys like me that are weighing down the other side, so you know there's an awful lot of movement going on. So our mobility sometimes will lend to loneliness. In the United States, an average of 20% of the population relocates every year. That's a lot. And that's a lot of uprooting. It's a lot of new faces, new places. And it takes time to build relationships and friendships. It takes time to build that trust. And if you don't give yourself that time, it'll never happen. Technology has led to increased loneliness. As government and business, educational institutions, and even churches have grown in size and become more impersonal, it's easy to feel like a number. You feel like nobody really knows you and nobody really cares about you. You're just a head to be counted or just a number on some sheet somewhere that doesn't really matter. More than any of the technological inventions we've come up with, the internet may have led to the greatest relationship to loneliness. Frequent internet use pulls people away from face-to-face contact and relationship building, so they become alienated from normal social contact. Everything is done electronically. Have you ever noticed? And I've seen this before, and it just never ceases to... It's sad, but it's funny at the same time. You'll see a couple at a table, and they don't even look at each other, and they don't even speak to each other, and they're just on their phone. I've even known sometimes where they're actually texting to each other, but they're not talking. Right? So even our technology can lead to increased loneliness. There are also psychological causes. Sometimes lonely people share similar characteristics. For one thing, they're easily hurt, and their wounds don't heal very quickly. Somewhere in life, they've been deeply wounded, and this leads them to keep their distance from other people. They're afraid of being hurt again, so they pull into their protective shells. Lonely people are often insecure people. It takes a sense of personal security to be able to reach out to others, to make yourself vulnerable, and to share your life with them. You got to know where you stand. You got to know who you are. You have to have a sense of what you want and what you don't want in life. Now, for most people, meeting others is a treat, but to lonely people, meeting others is a threat. And they approach a situation that way. You cannot build strong relationships if you're insecure in yourself. Lonely people sometimes are confused people. They're not really sure why they're here. They're not really sure what their purpose is in life. They feel very insignificant. And if they feel insignificant about themselves, why would anybody else want to know them? Why would anybody else care about them? Sometimes they feel sorry for themselves, and they can even fall into a pit of self-pity. They envy those who have more than they do and can do more than they can. Instead of being thankful for what they have, they're looking at other people and wanting what they have. Now, chronically lonely people sometimes conclude that nothing can be done about their situation. This is just the way it is. I might as well accept it. Something that is true in all kinds of depression, which is kind of the overarching theme of these messages on Sunday night, depression makes us passive. When we get depressed, we tend to sit back and allow life to happen. We become reactive. We wait for somebody else to make the first step. And if they don't make the first step, well, I guess they don't really care about me anyway. We're going to see later on that that's very important if we want to overcome loneliness. Now, another root cause of loneliness is spiritual. Spiritual relationships are the most important relationships in life. Life is really built on relationships, our relationship to ourselves, our relationship to others, and most of all, our relationship to God. And people who feel alienated from God, those who are separated from God by sin, they have a loneliness down deep inside that no number of close friendships on a human level will ever be able to touch. Spiritual loneliness comes from leaving God out of our lives. It can even come into the life of a Christian when we allow sin to reside and we feel like God is a million miles away. God hasn't moved, we have. We withdraw ourselves from Him, and that can be a cause of spiritual loneliness. At the time they were created, Adam and Eve weren't lonely. They had one another. They had an unbroken relationship with God. But when sin entered the human race, true intimacy disappeared. In its place come deception, defensiveness, blaming, self-interest, power struggles. You see all of that in the opening chapters of Genesis. Adam and Eve were blaming each other and they're blaming God. God said there would be discord within the home because of sin, and we have seen that throughout human history. Wiersbe gives an interesting take on this idea of loneliness also. Loneliness, he writes, is the malnutrition of the soul that comes from living on substitutes. He points to Isaiah 55. Verses 1 and 2. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair." Many lonely people are feeding their souls substitutes. They're not getting the proper nourishment God has created us to have. Isaiah here says that they're spending money on things that's not bread. They're laboring for things that don't satisfy. And many people try to fill the vacuum of loneliness with work. They figure, well, if I bury myself in my job and I do something important, then that'll make me significant. That'll make me matter. Or they'll try to fill that void with other relationships. Sometimes they'll just turn on entertainment so that they don't have to think. Another word for entertainment is amusement. Do you know what the word amusement means? Muse means to think. The letter A in the original Latin and Greek means the opposite or un. Amusement literally means no thinking. Isn't that what most of our entertainment is anymore? The absence of thought. We do things so we don't have to think about our situation. We don't have to think about how we feel or where we are in life. Many people are satisfied with entertainment when God offers them joy. They're satisfied with taking a pill when God offers them peace. They're satisfied with prices when God offers them values. They're satisfied with fun when God offers abundant life. They're living on substitutes. And like we saw Solomon in his Journal of Ecclesiastes, they come to the end and they say, you know what? It's really empty. It's just all meaningless. That's really the cry of a lonely person. Now, loneliness has consequences. It has physical consequences. It's interesting to note, one survey reported that more than 50% of heart patients studied confessed they were lonely and depressed before they had their heart attack. Coincidence? Maybe. Some research even indicates a relationship between loneliness and certain kinds of cancer. Our bodies are affected by loneliness. If for no other reason, if you noticed when we read from Psalm 102, we don't take care of our bodies when we're lonely. When we're depressed, who cares? Nobody cares what I look like. Nobody cares. And if you feel bad enough, you don't want to eat. You don't want to do the things that are necessary for physical health. So oftentimes we just let things go. We let it slide. And it has a consequence on our bodies. Loneliness also has emotional consequences. One study found that 80% of psychiatric patients interviewed said they had sought help because of their loneliness. 80%. Loneliness causes some people to become nervous. It caused some to overeat, others not to eat enough, to drink heavily, to experience insomnia, which again can lead to other physical problems down the road. 500,000 people attempt suicide in the United States every year, and many of these attempts are linked to loneliness. They feel like nobody cares, nobody loves me, nobody even cares if I'm not here anymore, so I'll just do it for them. People feel lonely day after day, and they just decide to destroy themselves. Loneliness has physical and emotional consequences, but also has spiritual consequences. See, God did not make us to be lonely. He made us to have fellowship with Him, and He's gone to great lengths to reestablish that link. He sent His Son to die. He gives us the opportunity. He welcomes us to come close, to enjoy an intimate relationship with Himself. He made us to enjoy creative lives, to be people who are growing and enjoying the enrichment He provides. You know, it's a sad thing when people are lonely and they fail to achieve all that God wants them to achieve in their lives. He's got a great plan for every one of us. But when we allow loneliness to take over, we remove ourselves from the possibility of God working in our lives. Yes, we're all subject to loneliness sometimes, but the Bible gives us some very practical instruction on what to do about it. And I want to conclude tonight by considering the conquest of loneliness. How do we get over it? Because I am convinced that loneliness can be conquered in the life of every believer. I do not believe that any Christian ought to stay lonely. Yes, we're going to feel it at times, but when it becomes a chronic way of life, I think there are things we can do about it. A good deal has been written about loneliness that tells the lonely person to get busy, do something, occupy yourself, keep your hands busy. I think we're starting at the wrong point. I'm not saying it's not a bad thing to get involved and to do some things, but don't start there. Because again, you're trying to fill a round hole with a square peg. It's not going to work. That is not going to satisfy the need. A good example of this is Elijah. Remember Elijah? After his great victory on Mount Carmel, Queen Jezebel comes out with a threat. I'm going to make you just like one of them. And he takes off. He runs for his life. Yes, he was depressed. But more specifically, he was lonely. Do you remember what he said to God when God finally caught up with him? I know that's, God was always there. But when Elijah finally slowed down long enough for God to talk to him, and what did Elijah say? I'm the only one left. They've killed all your prophets. Yeah, he was whining. It's in the Hebrew. He felt like he was the only one left. What did God say? I've got 7,000 or 8,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You think you're all alone. There's people all around that share your spiritual convictions. But I want you to notice something. God did not tell Elijah, what you need is to get busy. What you need is activity. What you need is involvement. No, what Elijah needed was to reconnect with God. Remember the scene at the cave? There was the great wind that came by, but God wasn't in the wind. And then there was a great fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But then a little, still, small voice spoke to the prophet, and he fell on his face before God. Before we do anything to try to conquer loneliness, we must reconnect with God. That is the key. Because loneliness, if you go back to what we've talked about before, loneliness is often triggered when we feel insecure and insignificant. Remember, those are our two basic psychological needs that everybody is built with. And where do we find security and significance that can't be taken away? Only in God. This is where we must start. Examine your life. Do you feel that you're isolated from God? Do you feel that God is a million miles away? Reconnect. Maybe there needs to be some confession of sin. Maybe there just needs to be an establishment of a regular time that we spend with God. Maybe we're not into His Word and prayer much anymore. Depressed people usually aren't. Lonely people usually don't do that. We'll get back to it. Spend time with God in prayer. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in His house worshiping. That's the beginning. That's where we must start. Anything else is going to be, in the words of Wiersbe, living on substitutes, and substitutes don't satisfy. So begin by having those initial needs met. You find your security, you find your significance in God. Why am I significant? Because I am the creation of Almighty God. He made me in His image. Where do I find security? In the fact that He sent His Son to die for me so that I could be His child. That makes me significant. That makes me secure. Nothing can change that. It doesn't matter what anybody says or does. Those things remain constant. And if we start from there, we're not trying to get other people or other relationships or other activities to fill that void, because only God can. So we begin with our relationship with God. Once we've done this, I think there's some steps we can take that'll help us get out of that hole of loneliness. First, we have to admit the problem. It's just like anything else in life. Until we admit we have an issue, we're not going to deal with it. If you're lonely, admit it. If your life is empty, admit it. And then decide to do something about it. You remember last week I said we were looking at ways to overcome emotional depression. And it starts with our thinking. It starts with our knowledge. And that's where we have to begin. We have to change how we think. And sometimes that means we got to tell ourselves the truth. Remember Psalm 42 and 43? The psalmist says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" In other words, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? Put your hope in God. We need to tell ourselves the truth. Because here are some of the lies Satan has been feeding you and you've been accepting. You're no good. You're not worth anything. Nobody cares about you. Your life doesn't matter. These are the thoughts that lonely people feed on. And that has to change. Because the fact is, you are worthwhile. People may not think much of you, but God thinks you're to die for. He sent His Son for you. You matter. And the truth is, you matter to other people. You may not see it, you may not feel it, but you do. And we need to start telling ourselves the truth. You have to start talking to yourself and tell yourself the truth of God's word and reject the lies of the world and of Satan. Often there's self-pity, pessimistic thinking, complaints about the unfairness of life. Oh, poor, pitiful me. It's never going to change. Nobody cares. Enough. Put your foot down and say, I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm not going to feed my mind these thoughts because they aren't true. We start by telling ourselves the truth based on God's word. And then we need to develop some self-esteem. We need to understand how important we are to God and the great lengths to which He went to establish a relationship with us. We need, and maybe we need others to help us, to see our strengths, our abilities, our spiritual gifts. The fact that, yes, we have something to contribute to others. We can make a difference in people's lives. Lonely people don't see that. Lonely people are convinced it wouldn't matter if I didn't exist anymore. But the truth is, God has put you in a body, the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, He has given us all gifts, abilities, ministries. You are needed. You are necessary. We need to understand this and begin building this within us. And as I mentioned last week, that takes a lot of talking to yourself. I know people think talking to yourself is a mark of insanity. I think it's one of the smartest things you can do, as long as what you're telling yourself is the truth. And that's something that's very, very important. When you find a time of loneliness creeping up on you, you have a decision to make. Am I going to use this experience to draw closer to Christ and to try to draw closer to maybe a few other people, or am I going to just try to gather sympathy for myself? Am I going to reach for the phone or get online and burden somebody with the way I feel, or am I going to say, Lord, I'm relying on You. Send me to one or two people that I can trust, that I can share my feelings and my life with. There's a decision that has to be made. As the Lord enables us, we can overcome our self-centered thinking and begin to establish those healthy relationships we need. But if I deliberately draw attention to myself and my problems, it's going to alienate me from others. It's going to make me feel even more lonely. And as I said before the message tonight in our communion meditation, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and His name is Jesus. And I do believe Jesus is the first step in overcoming loneliness. Understanding that He's always there. He is my strength. He is always with me. Now, I realize what I'm about to say might sound like heresy, but I want you to hear me out. We need more than a right relationship with God to conquer loneliness. Now, before you throw your hymnals at me, consider what God said in Genesis 2:18. It is not good for man to be alone. And remember, this is before sin. God had created Adam, put him in the garden, and he had a perfect relationship with him. And yet, God says it's not good that he's alone. In fact, it's the first thing in all of the Bible that God says is not good. God created us to interact with one another. We need each other. We often only apply that verse to the marriage relationship, but it's true in all of life. We are not meant to be alone. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. We're not meant to live life by ourselves. As followers of Christ, we are a part of a great fellowship of believers called the church. Paul says in Ephesians 3:15 that the whole family in heaven and on earth, he's a part of that. We are a part of that as believers. How do we begin the Lord's Prayer? We don't say, my Father, we say, our Father. I think that's significant because it brings us together. We have something in common. We are part of the same spiritual family. But here's something I really want you to take with you tonight. The responsibility of relationships is ours. And for lonely people, you must take on that responsibility. Doctors Minerth and Meyer write in their book, Happiness is a Choice, no man is an island. No man can be a happy hermit. Loneliness is painful. We must have close, intimate friends. And we must assume 100% of the responsibility for building friendships. It's up to us. Like I said, so often we become passive. We allow the world to dictate. We sit back and say, well, if that person really cares about me, they're going to come to me. They're going to take the first step. And when they don't, we say, well, they don't care about me anyway. That's part of the lies that Satan convinces us in our minds. We have a responsibility. Take the first step. Solomon said that if we want friends, we must go out and be friendly. In a sense, we have to earn friends. Now, all humans fear rejection, some more than others. Don't expect everybody to like you. Don't expect every friendship to become a deep, close, intimate friendship. You don't need a great number of friends. You need a few very good friends. You need a few friends you can trust. You need a few friends that you can go to at your lowest point, and they're not going to judge you. They're not going to criticize you. They're going to support you. They're going to help you. Now, they may tell you something you don't want to hear. That's a good friend. But you don't need a ton of friendships. You need a few good ones, healthy friendships. And don't just have one, because one person may move away. They may die. They may let you down. What do we sing from the hymnal? Earthly friends will fail you, but Jesus never fails. But we need to have a few good friends so that if one of them is taken from the scene, even if it's not their choice, we're not left all alone. So seek to build a few good, personal, intimate relationships. But we must take the initiative. This is one thing I find with so many lonely people and so many depressed people. They just sit back and do nothing. They become very passive. And they complain that nobody calls me. Nobody visits me. Nobody talks to me. Pick up a phone. It works both ways. Reach out to somebody. And don't put, you know, all of your self-esteem in that meeting. You might find somebody that doesn't like you. That's their loss. Don't be so fragile that if one person doesn't accept your friend request, you're shattered. But it does take some initiative on our part. If you don't have a friend, why not? If no one calls you on the phone, call them. quit whining and complaining about what other people don't do when you're not doing it yourself. Sometimes we just need to get up and move. And it takes us sometimes to take that first step. Now, I know that's scary. I know that's hard when you may be battling self-esteem issues anyway. But it's what we need to do, and it's what we need to hear. If we're lonely, and we stay lonely, guess whose fault that is? Starts by looking in the mirror. Do something about it. Jesus understands loneliness. He is saying to every one of us, I know how it feels. I care about you. I want to help you. He is the beginning. That's where we begin to conquer loneliness. But that's not where it ends. Allow Jesus, once he has filled you with that security and significance that only he can give, allow him to lead you to others. Other relationships that you can build into and they can build into yours. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need that. And let me just add this at the very end. These really close personal friends, if you're a woman, look to other women. If you're a man, look to other men to begin with. It leaves out a lot of complications. It's not wrong for men and women to be good friends with each other, to have close friendships. I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm saying if that's where we look first, we're probably going to be disappointed more often than not. We're going to be misunderstood more often than not. Every man needs at least one or two good male friends they can trust and they can talk to. Every woman needs at least two or three good female friends that they can talk to about anything. And it might require us taking that first step. God has given us everything we need. Now he says, put it to work. And we can find that we can overcome loneliness. Will you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone. We thank you that you are always with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. But you've also surrounded us with others of like precious faith. Brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, with whom we share what is most important of life. I pray that you would direct us to a few good people that will be close friends that we can share our lives with, and they can help us and we can help them. And it can pull us out of that pit of loneliness. We thank you for the truth of your word. Now I pray you'll help us put it into practice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.